Rumpelstiltskin. Once upon a time, there was a miller who was always boasting. He said that he ground the finest flour, that his wife made the best puddings, and that his cat could catch 1,000 mice in a single day. But most of all, he boasted about his daughter, Eloise. One day, a servant from the palace was at the mill collecting flour for the king's bakery. "Do you know," the miller started bragging, "my daughter isn't just the most beautiful girl in the kingdom, she's also the most clever. Why, she's so clever she can even spin straw into gold." The servant knew how much the young king loved gold. So that night he told him of the miller's silly boast. "Oh, nonsense," said the king. "He was just bragging. I'll teach him not to tell such lies. Send for the miller's daughter. We'll soon see if she can spin straw into gold." So the royal guards were sent to the mill to fetch her. When Eloise arrived at the palace, the king led her down some dark steps to the cellars. In the corner of a small room stood a spinning wheel, a stool, and a pile of straw. "Your father says you can spin straw into gold," said the king. "Well, spin this into gold before sunset, or I'll throw your father into jail for lying." Eloise tried to explain, but it was no good. The king strode out of the room and locked the door. "I can't spin straw into gold," she sobbed. "Nobody can." And she sat down on the stool and began to cry. "I can." There in front of her stood the funniest looking little man she'd ever seen. He was scarcely bigger than a dwarf, with pointed ears, a red nose, and a long, silky beard. His clothes were brilliant red and green, and he wore a huge floppy hat with an ostrich feather. "You can," said Eloise. "How?"
"Never mind how. What reward will you give me if I spin this straw into gold for you?"
"Oh, anything, anything at all."
"Your lovely bracelet?"
"Yes, yes, of course." So the funny little man hopped onto the stool and began to spin. In just a few minutes, he'd changed the whole pile of straw into 100 bobbins of pure gold thread.
"Now you must give me your bracelet," he said.
Eloise laughed and gave her bracelet to the dwarf, thanking him over and over again.
"It's nothing. Glad to be of service."
And with that, the strange little man disappeared into thin air. At sunset, when the king came back, he could not believe his eyes. But instead of thanking the girl, he locked her up overnight and would not let her go home. The next morning, he led her into a larger room. In the corner was an even bigger pile of straw with the same spinning wheel beside it.
"Spin this straw into gold by tonight," he said. As he left, he bolted the door behind him.
Eloise burst into tears.
"Oh, what can I do? If only that wonderful little man could find me again."
"Never fear, I'm already here."
Eloise was so relieved to see the dwarf standing there in front of her that she could hardly speak.
"What will you give me if I spin all this straw into gold for you?"
he asked.
"Oh, anything, anything at all."
"Your silver ring?"
"Why, yes, of course."
So the funny little man hopped onto the stool and began to spin. In just a few hours, 1,000 bobbins of pure gold thread were stacked against the wall.
"Now, give me your silver ring," he said, jumping off the stool.
"It belonged to my mother, but I'll willingly give it to you." And she thanked him 1,000 times.
"It's nothing. Glad to be of service."
And with that, he disappeared into thin air once again. At sunset, when the king entered the room, he was thrilled by the sight of the gold. He loved gold so much
that he could not bear to send Eloise home until she'd made him the richest king in all the world. So the next morning, he took her to the largest room she'd ever seen. It was filled almost to the ceiling with straw, and in the corner stood the same little spinning wheel. "If you can spin all this into gold before sunset," he said, "I'll marry you. If you don't, I'll keep you locked up forever."
"I can't be so lucky a third time," sobbed Eloise. "The little man will never find me again."
"Don't be so sure. I'm here on the floor. What will you give me if I spin all this straw into gold for you, and you become queen?"
"Oh, anything, anything. But I've nothing left that you could possibly want."
"I'll think of something."
And he hopped onto the stool and worked faster than ever. Even so, the sun was setting as he spun the last thread. The great pile of straw had been turned into 100 bales of pure gold. Eloise thanked him over and over again.
"Ah, but now you must give me your first-born baby," cried the dwarf with a cruel laugh. "That's my price."
"I'm not even married," cried Eloise.
"You will be soon, and I'll wait."
"Then I will..."
But before she could say another word, the dwarf disappeared, just as the king was unlocking the huge doors. He looked around at the bales of gold.
"Amazing! Fantastic! Everything your father said was true, and I shall marry you."
Within a week, there was a magnificent royal wedding at the palace. Eloise was so happy that she soon forgot about the dwarf and the promise that she'd made. She did not even remember him when she gave birth to her first baby. But one day, as she was sitting with her baby son in her arms, the little man suddenly appeared.
"I've come for my reward," he said. "Your first-born baby."
"No, no, you can have anything. My crown, my palace, anything. But not my baby."
"I thought so," sneered the dwarf. "You don't want to keep your promise, but you will, unless you can guess my name."
"Your name?"
"My name. Have as many guesses as you like, but if you can't guess my name in 3 days, I'll take your baby."
And he vanished before she could say another word. The poor queen sent off her most trusted messenger to make a list of every unusual name in the kingdom. She read through all the books in the royal library, and when the little man suddenly appeared in her sitting room, she said,
"Is your name Ferdinand, or Balthazar, or Engelbert, or Isambard, or Garamond, or Baskerville, or Bembo, or Gil?"
"No, no, no! You'll have to do better than that."
And after she guessed names for nearly an hour, the dwarf disappeared. The next day, she tried to think of all the silly names that a dwarf might use. And when he appeared in front of her, she said, "Are you called Knobbly Knees? Or Fly By Night? Or Hobbledy High? Or Scragbeard? Longshanks? Or..."
"Nothing like it, nowhere near,"
cackled the little man. And after 2 more hours of guessing, he said,
"You'll have to try harder tomorrow. It will be my last visit."
The queen was near to tears. What could she do? There was a soft knock at the door. It was the messenger returning from his search. "I went to the very borders of the kingdom, my lady," he said. "I asked every witch and wizard for help, but 'twas hopeless. Finally, I got so tired that I lay down on a hillside to sleep. When I woke, I happened to see a fire flickering through the trees, and creeping closer, I saw a funny little dwarf dancing round the fire. He kept singing over and over again. 'Guess away, oh lady fine, tomorrow your baby will be mine. I'll never lose this royal game.' For Rumpelstiltskin is my name. The queen gasped with joy. She gave the servant a gold ring from her own hand and thanked him 1,000 times. When the dwarf appeared the next day, he was carrying a basket to put the royal baby in.
Come on, guess, he teased the queen. Guess my name.
Is your name Matthew or Mark or Luke or John? Is it William or Peter or Nicholas or Philip or...
No, no, no! Give in, give up!
Or Brian or Norman or... Rumpelstiltskin. The dwarf gave a great shriek and stamped his foot in a tantrum.
Cheat, cheat, he screamed. It's not fair!
And this time he stamped so hard that he fell right through the floor and was never seen again.